girl with the fro, brownie outside, brownie outside, brownie outside. Girl with the fro, brownie outside, brownie outside, brownie outside. Girl with the fro, brownie outside, brownie outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Tim Fro's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Ba da 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 da. That's what you get when you have way too much time on your hands. Hi, this is Tennessee Fro, broadcasting this wonderful Tuesday evening from my window in Chattanooga, Northside. I think this additional podcast is going to be more in alignment about how I wanted the Tennessee Fro is Reading podcast to be, because it's all going to be about books, commentary here or there to maybe some related current events, but mostly just about books. And I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And again, thank you for listening. So how do we nerds spend our Sunday afternoons? Well, I spent my Sunday creating a script for my podcast, and I did not watch football at all. I'm not a fan of Tom Brady. Enough said. Therefore, I'm not going to watch any game with an intent to see him play. I'm halfway interested in Patrick Mahomes because he's a former Texas Tech football player. Actually, he's a former Texas Tech star football player. But neither team is the Dallas Cowboys, and so I really don't care how well each of them have done in the postseason of it all. And that basically sums up my ambivalence about the postseason as well as the run-up to the Super Bowl, which I believe is Sunday after next. So, I will not be entertaining any questions about who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl, because I don't even think I'm going to be watching it. I'm probably going to be reading and doing my best to create a book podcast, an interesting book podcast. I'm just saying. I decided to do this additional production of podcast because I realized I added like 13, 14 books. Actually, it was 14 books to Chatterbooks, my online bookstore. But I didn't mention it in Sunday's podcast. I got really diverted by other things, you would say. But I could have gone back and added a whole particular section, which probably would have added another 30 to 40 minutes to the original podcast. But I don't think most people, even if you're nerdy enough, would be willing to sit through anything above 30 minutes specifically talking about books. I'm not, what's his name? He plays Georgie, Reading Rainbow. I'm not him. So LeVar Burton. So I don't think people will tune in to listen to me read from books and talk about books with myself. I'm not famous enough where I can't invite people on to talk about books, my friends. I don't think most of them have the time to read as many pages as I can in a day. None of them, I don't think, have the same job that I do, that I could actually read between cases like I did all day today. After I went to Mad Priest, a local roastery here in Chattanooga, got coffee, bagels, and still had time to work full time all day today. It's crazy. But anyways, so I devised to come up with this additional post, and it seems to be more in line with what you would think a post about books should be. No, it's not the grand tenure as the book review from New York Times, which I've gotten a lot of my books from, or even LA Times. But I think it's a good start because it's certainly a bunch of books that I would love to buy on my own. All of the books that I've mentioned, even the ones that I don't, are available on my website. But also, if you navigate to alibris.com, you can use the coupon codes that are listed in the blog post and get a percentage off of your order and shipment. Some of the post codes actually expire the end of this month, and some of the codes actually expire by the end of today. But check it out. If you can't find it on my website, then you can actually find it at alibris.com with a good percentage off all the time. This week, I found out that there is going to be, by HarperCollins, is basically hosting an online event for the release of Cicely Tyson's new memoir, Just As I Am. This basically details or chronicles her 96-year-old queen's legendary history that spans over 7 decades. I did not know until this book dropped that she was actually married to Miles Davis, who cheated on her and was abusive for like 7 years. And then after they divorced, they carried on decades-long love affair even after the marriage ended. There are no more large and expensive book parties anymore. So there's an online event on January 28th that plays homage to that, and it's at 6:00. Also, the link to that is in the blog notes. One of my favorite things that I get to do in my online bookstore is I get to not only post those books that I would be very much interested in reading, I also get to highlight books by people that look like me. Not just my book, but a whole bunch of other people's books. For example, I posted The Rib King. This is by an author. I didn't even know who she was until they talked about this book in the New York Times book review. Her name is Lady Hubbard. And just give me one quick minute because I'm navigating to my wish list, because what I've found is I get better options. Or get the ISBN code that I am able to actually post that makes it easier for me to post all of these books on my website. And I get some great pictures too. But three books that I actually added to the For Us, By Us, But Read By Everyone section, which is probably one of my favorite sections of the book, as also the Words for the Soul section. I really love both of those. But why can I? It looks like I added more, but I didn't. The newest release is by Lady Hubbard. She's an acclaimed author. It's called The Rib King. It just dropped this past week also, and it deconstructs the painful African-American stereotypes and offers a fresh and serious critique on race, class, privilege, ambition, exploitation in the seeds of rage in this historical fiction novel. It basically is a piggyback on The Talented Ripkins, which is a story about a black family with supernatural powers. A little bit of exploitation and a little bit of how you deal with talent in a world that doesn't know how to deal with you. I think that's also, both of those books are timely for the times that we're living in. I also added the letters and diary of Edie Hillesum. They liken her book to the diary of Anne Frank because it's the interrupted life, because this details and chronicles correspondence while she was in transit to the Westerbork concentration camp on her way to Auschwitz, and how she survived. That's actually a really significant journey that I would definitely support anybody that would actually read that. And also, as I maintain my site, I find myself constantly reviewing and rearranging and picking books I would want to add to my own library. And yes, I know I'm a low-grade book hoarder, and I have a bookstore, kind of like a crack addict being a dealer, but so be it. So this is how I assuage my pathology. I just add a whole bunch of books to an online bookstore, but I can't add anything because I don't currently live in my forever home. But there you go. I love this particular section, Books for the Soul. I added the works of W.E.B. Du Bois as well as James Baldwin, I'm Not Your Negro, as well as The Fire Next Time. This basically was a critique on calling out of the critique of the hypocrisy of Land of the Free of America, because 60s and even the run up into 20 and 2021, it is obvious that we are not all free. And it is also obvious that there's a one set of rules for people that look like that are white and people that are ain't. And we are the ones that the ain'ts are the ones that are over policed and locked up and get a billy club outside the head, even though we're participating in our God-given right to protest, but peacefully. But you can run up on the government and threaten to kill the vice president and nothing happens to you. And speaking of the insurrection, I really wouldn't even call myself a patriot until recently. It was just until recently that I started standing and actually reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and knowing the words of the national anthem. I had a personal protest because I didn't figure that I was a citizen and I didn't have a right to actually do that. However, I've since changed my mind because everything that my family and other people that look like me have fought for makes me, I am a citizen. I got the passport to prove it. I got the birth certificate to prove it. Coming back into town just to vote, making sure my registration is proper and on point. And then all these things that are being tossed down about fraudulent elections, voter suppression, First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. I needed to know exactly what people were talking about. And I didn't understand why I didn't have a copy of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or the Bill of Rights in my possession. I know you can look things up online, but I don't recall U.S. government that took in the 11th, 12th grade. I don't recall a civics class where we did a deeper dive or the importance of those words and those laws were pointed out to me. Just the basic amendments, for Christ's sake. And it just blew my mind, the state of the public school education and how it was, I know less than most new citizens. And shame on me for not knowing more, but I'm going to correct that hopefully in the upcoming months. I don't think I'm going to be a constitutional lawyer, but I'm going to definitely need to be a more informed citizen. And I'm also going to need to know a lot more to basically fashion my refutation of people that said, just because you won't let me say shit on Parler and Twitter, you're encroaching on my First Amendment rights. Bitch, no, I'm not. Because that has nothing, because a private company won't let you spread hate and do and wild out on their site, has nothing to do with First Amendment rights. It basically has to, now if the government was trying to do like they do to that Navalny dude in Russia and locking him up because he's a dissident, and they're trying to squelch his right to criticize that crooked government, then yes, that is literally, that would be an encroachment on your First Amendment rights. But just because people won't allow you to post disinformation, misinformation, and just out and out lies is not an encroachment of your First Amendment rights. I'm so sorry. And I'm also going to need to do some look up, because the next big thing is the impeachment unconstitutional? Well, what does the Constitution say about impeachment? Can you impeach a jackass now that he's no longer in, he's no longer in here? Well, I think you probably can. And we do got a precedent for it, so stop it. Does he have to answer to it? Yeah, he probably does, because that's the only way that you can actually censure and have justice for someone that basically committed treason. Just saying. So, with that said, I need the basis. I need to know I need to have the tools to be able to fashion an argument and to know why some of the arguments are really stupid. And it is also obvious that the current politicians don't even know the laws that they're supposed to be upholding, because I think they would not be doing some of the goofy things that they're trying to do at this time. But it also gives you a background or a foundation when you read books like You Are Not American, Citizenship Stripping from Dred Scott to the Dreamers by Amanda Frost, or The Crooked Path to Abolition, Abraham Lincoln and the Anti-Slavery Constitution, James Oak. You got to really know what the Constitution and what the laws are to be able to see how and fashion to make sure that their arguments are valid. Because if you don't have a basis, you ain't got now nickel in that dime, you ain't got now dog in that race. And you shouldn't basically speak on something that you don't really know about. And I think that would also stamp down a lot of the rhetoric, because it is obvious a lot of the politicians are not constitutional lawyers. They don't know or they don't understand what they're talking about. And I think that if they did, they would basically shut the hell up. So my other additions to Chatterbooks do include several books that I added to the book club section. American Baby, A Mother, Child, and a Shadow History of Adoption in This Country by Gabrielle Glazer. Craft and American History. The reason why I actually chose that book, I didn't put it in the book club one. It's actually in art history. But it basically chronicles the making of America and our crafts. And I was intrigued by one of the photos of a Hopi Native American basically carving and creating the pottery that are worth like a bazillion dollars now. How the natives, we all creatives contributed to the history and the building of this country. And this, the enslaved, I'm hopeful that there's also the art of the enslaved people. I mean, slaves built DC, and that's probably one of the most pretty gorgeous cities in the world. So I also added The Doctor's Black Well, How Two Pioneering Sisters Brought Medicine to Women and the Women of Medicine, as well as The Secret Life of Dorothy Soames. She basically investigated her mother, which led her to a post-Victorian home for unwed mothers. And she was basically, her mother was basically a sociopath, and that's how she raised her. And it basically explains a lot. So I wanted to make sure that that was several of the 14 books that I actually added to Chatterbooks this past week. Why wouldn't I have Schubert playing in the background for the next section, the Bridgertons? There's beautiful piano and violin music, based on 21st century covers of more modern songs, but it just seems appropriate that not only I discuss the couple of books that I actually added to the historical romance section. I added several, a memoir of the Queen Charlotte Mecklenburg-Strelitz, because she plays such a big role in the Bridgerton series, but also the princesses, the six daughters of George III, her husband, because these women were not allowed to date or to have normal lives basically until he died. And I'm wondering if they're going to kind of insert those characters into the next season, because it said that it has been renewed for a second season. And they have done really well to, to follow the storyline of the book, but loosely, without overdoing it. And I'm wondering if they're going to at least put Amelia in there. I don't know if she was even alive and of the age. That's a good question. Was she alive and of the age that she could have also been a diamond of the First Order? Because she had 15 kids, but she was so focused on other people's kids and the diamond of the season, but she could not allow her own kids to go out. I found that pretty freaking remarkable. And just for those people that have not watched the Netflix series Bridgerton, shame on you, because y'all tripping. Y'all have had plenty of time. I've watched it like 4 times, and I'm probably going to watch it again tonight. I'm just saying. So, the series itself is basically based on Julia Quinn's novels, The Duke and I. However, I was reading today, I got it to the sixth chapter of The Viscount Who Loves Me, which is the second book in the Bridgerton novel series. And I think it's just as well written as the first book. It's not as flowery as you would expect a romance novel to be. All the personalities of the characters are completely believable, and they seem to be a lot stronger, and the writing is not as flowery, and it just, but with great description. There's no brevity, and she doesn't do it to overdo it. This book is based primarily on the young Viscount Anthony Bridgerton, because he's looking for a wife, and we are left in the towards the end of the series where he, that is quite obvious, and how he throws over the opera singer, who actually pops up again, actually in the house in this book. But anyways, he has specific qualities that he's looking for. He demands that his wife be intelligent, pretty, because he has no intention of falling in love with this woman. I know, famous last words. I'm like, boy, you tripping. You know that's not even possible. But whatever the reason, he's against falling in love. I don't know if this is some selfish self-protection, but it is kind of dumb. His parents loved each other. They had a love match, which was almost unheard of during this period of time. His father was taken away when he was young by an allergic reaction to a big bee sting. Spoiler, that explains the significance of the bee buzzing around towards the end of Bridgerton. Because, of course, he is going to fall in love with the smart but broke Catherine Sheffield, who at the age of 21 is considered a spinster in the making or old, a little bit long in the tooth to be just coming out. Of course, they meet at a ball and she becomes the unlikely diamond and the focus of his love interest against all the odds. Kind of therapy, but I'm enjoying how he is basically lying to himself. And she's lying to herself from the beginning of the book. But we know it's going to come to a wonderful head and they're going to end up with a brilliant match in marriage and with more children. The series keeps with the basic storyline of the first book and with the additional characters, as I said, but the addition of an overweight corgi named Newton and the reemergence of Nigel Burbrook, who it seems to be dumber in the book than he was actually portrayed in the movie, it actually makes for a very festive and a funny read. One of the things that is apparent even in the written word is how all of the rich male Bridgertons are very free and they know it. And how limited women are, even the ones with money, but they settle into their roles and they excel within the confines of pre-Victorian society. Newton basically Newton the dog is taken for a walk by Anthony when he comes to visit the pretty Edwina, the sister of Catherine. And she and Newton gets so exuberant, he's chasing bunnies, he pulls away from her and goes rounding off. Then he spots Edwina, knocks her into the stream, and he, on command, Kate gets him to splash both him and the dunderhead Nigel. But she's then invited to Bridgerton House for a musical event. Where the audience is treated to the stylings of the Italian opera singer, the soprano Maria Russo. It makes sense because the description of that character is actually, this looks like the character that's in the series, but I digress. The side story in the prep, the reason why I point to this is because mistresses of her ilk, they know that they don't want to get married because they know in polite society they can't be married once they've entered into that role, but they still need to be protected and cared for. So, and how precarious the state of women are during this age and to a certain extent even now. And how privileged elite men could take full advantage and it was completely tolerated. The book itself details the delicate of the dresses and the fan. The descriptions are the delicate nature of the silks and the embroidery and the lace, but not so much to be overdone again. I also learned something about what is called the Adam style, because it seems the music room in Bridgerton House is styled after that. Basically, is like having Wedgwood plaques all over your wall and painted into the theme of your floor or as far as tiled. Makes the soaring walls make for great sound, and all of these places were not only to highlight the beauty and the richness and the wealth of the owners, but also made great acoustics. What was even more obvious is just how Kate and Anthony vehemently denied that they really did like each other and how they were going to resist falling in love, and that's exactly what was happening. It's during that musical event that Kate slips out to get away from it all and to catch her breath. And she hides, unbeknownst to herself, in Bridgerton's office. But then she finds herself under the desk while he is getting his freak on with the opera singer. And the only reason why he's getting his freak on with the opera singer so he can actually get her out of his mind is crazy. It is so crazy that the lies people tell themselves to self-protect, but it also basically cuts them off from a completely wonderful experience. And that is the whole premise behind these historical romance novels. She gets around to saying it, and she does it in such a great way. And it is so smart, and it's so witty, and so funny. You forget that you actually are reading a romance novel. At least I did anyways. To talk, but I think I'm getting into and leaning hopefully into what my whole premise to doing this podcast is. I hope you will take the time to navigate to my online bookstore Chatterbooks and purchase some of the books that I've had the opportunity to detail in this particular series. I'm hopeful that I won't be remiss in forgetting to add 14 books to the Sunday podcast and publication. I hope that you get the opportunity to also join us as Cicely Tyson talks about the new release of her memoir. I think that's going to be a gas on January 28th at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. She was really funny today on CBS Morning News. And she's basically said, they asked her, would you work? And she said, you would take the job. And she said, if the part was correct, because why sit on your butt? Get having a sore butt. She doesn't really want to do that. I think she's going to work way up into when she surpasses 100 if she has the strength to do that. And for people that don't agree or just getting on your nerves and need a bag of gummy peanuts, don't forget to navigate to shipabagofdicks.com. Use my promo code 10frogotjokes to get a percentage off of your order. Check out the madpriestcoffee.com. I'm very excited about checking out their Yemeni and Guatemala blends, as well as also navigating to the other local websites to check out local artisans and enjoy everything that Chattanooga has to offer. And this is where I'm going to end. I think I've done a pretty good job of presenting and talking about the books that actually interest me and getting us all hyped for the second season of Bridgerton. And again, thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I've enjoyed creating it. Y'all have a great night, you hear?